And that ties in very neatly.
I was just born.
With our next item, which has to do with that, because the musical, as Blanet has said, Miss Saigon, will be coming to Dublin this October. This epic story tells the tragic tale of a young bar girl, orphaned by war, who falls in love with an American GI in the last days of Saigon.
By 1974, North Vietnamese troops had violated the Paris Peace Accords and renewed their assault on the South. It was clear the Republic of Vietnam would fall. In April of 75, North Vietnamese troops approached the southern capital of Saigon. President Gerald Ford ordered all U.S. troops and citizens out of the country.
To permit the movement of refugees to the area of their choice.
And on April 29th, Armed Forces Radio began playing White Christmas to signal an evacuation was underway.
I'm dreaming of a Well, as bizarre as it sounds, apparently that's the way it went. I'm not sure if they actually did play the White Christmas. Was there some confusion? But most of you will remember, of a particular age, the kind of scenes of the helicopters taken off from the American embassy with the staff and Vietnamese who managed to get out just before the fall of Saigon. But anyway, that's the backdrop to this musical. And as you can imagine, in New York, there is no shortage of critics on the street, on the airwaves and magazines. But the one Broadway producers fear the most is the New York Times. And I'm told that no matter what anybody else says, if the New York Times gives you a bad review, it's game over. Now, why am I saying that? Well, the show that's coming here is supposed to be the Broadway show. Now, Stephen Falloon, General Manager of the Bordgosh Energy Theatre, will be in shortly, and he'll explain a bit more about the Broadway version that's coming to us. But let me read you a little bit from the review of Miss Saigon, and the title is Return of the Little Copter That Wowed in Miss Saigon. It said, even before the orchestra sighs its first purple notes from the swoony score of Miss Saigon, which opened in a time-warped revival on Thursday night, the audience at the Broadway Theatre is treated to another noise, less mellifluous, perhaps, but more titillating, at least for the purposes of this show. Listen and thrill, O seekers of sensation, to the pa-pa-pa of rotor blades beating the air. Now, apparently what he's talking about there, well, I know for sure, is that like the Phantom of the Opera is sometimes known for the falling chandelier, this is known for its helicopter. The first time I saw Miss Saigon was in 1989 at the Theatre Royal in Drury Lane in London when it opened. And the helicopter didn't work that night. They had all sorts of technical problems. Apparently this was quite common. But I'm assured that the show coming here will definitely have a helicopter. So a couple of weeks ago, myself and Blondet went to Birmingham to the Dominion Theatre where the show was currently running. And that was one of the first questions we asked. Does it have a helicopter?
There is a helicopter. Our helicopter weighs 3.5 tonnes. It's only 3% smaller than an actual helicopter and flies a height of 2 double-decker buses on stage. I'm Neil White, I'm the company manager with Miss Saigon.
How do you plan for this trip to Bordgosh in Dublin?
We've been planning our Dublin visit for about 2 years. With a Cameron show, it isn't just about a tour venue, it's about the season there. And also the show's so enormous, we've got 16 trailers of equipment, a company of nearly 100 to bring over to Ireland, so and 10 nationalities, so it's a lot of people.
And where do they all stay?
All over the place. We've got apartments all over Dublin, so it's a big logistical nightmare, but we'll get there.
It's a massive production.
Well, yeah, but that's what Cameron does. It isn't just a normal tour. It's the Broadway production coming to Dublin. It's not the London production. It's all the changes that were put in for Broadway, so it's very much a Broadway show in Ireland.
Some theatres, of course, are bigger than others, are smaller than others, so do you have to vary the show from theatre to theatre?
What we do is our design team look at every theatre we go to on tour, and the show is redesigned for every venue we go to. So it's the show is expanded to fit. So with Dublin, with the amazing big stage there, our set will be really expanded to take the full potential of the theatre.
It's Miss Saigon.
Who's left in town, who hasn't gone?
Shut up and get your hot pants on.
Each day more GIs disappear.
Will we survive when no one's here?
You girls must trust your engineer. I have a little surprise for you. Come here.
So what part part do you play in it?
The engineer. The, or as you call it, the pimp.
I know, I was the calling pimp. It the pimp earlier. Sorry about
you
that.
You better explain why it's called the pimp.
Yeah, well, you're basically in charge of the ladies.
Mm-hmm, I am. Yeah. I run a seedy and savory bar in Vietnam. And
you're making money.
Saigon, yep. You know,
it was quite a controversial musical though when mm-hmm. it started out first, because everyone was saying you can't mix politics and wars with musicals, but it works.
Well, I think that, you know, the musical is such a big, it's a very versatile art form. Mm-hmm. You know, it can take anything that you put on it. You know, I mean, there are superhero musicals for, you know, I mean, you can turn anything into a musical. And yes, it is a bit, it's a touchy subject that Miss Saigon is.
But a timeless.
And a very timely one, actually.
I would agree.
You know, with, you know, what is happening with the world right now. I think
Absolutely.
It's very, very timely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wait a second. Are you not Max Detweiler? Where are the Von Trapps?
Not quite.
That's a wrong musical in the wrong war.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who do we have here?
I'm Ashley and I play Chris.
You're the love interest.
Yes.
And a bad guy.
Well, kind of.
They usually go together.
I didn't mean to be a bad guy. It kind of just happened.
You don't look like a bad guy. You look like butter would not melt.
Oh, thank you.
That's a compliment. Oh God, everyone behind you is going, no, the worst. How's it going so far on the tour?
Yeah, great. I'm loving it. Like, it's an amazing part and like we've really settled like into the run now, so it's fantastic.
Okay, and I always worry that when you get to Dublin, are you guys going to be tired? Are you going to be rested? Or
no,
how are you
we're going to be full of energy. It's a new city, and I've never been there either, so I'm so, so excited.
So yeah. Where is this in the run? Are you the beginning, the middle, the end, or whereabouts?
Pretty much at the beginning. This is our second venue.
All right.
So our first venue was Leicester, and that's where we kind of like set up the show and did like the tech rehearsals and
so
all
you're
that.
You're only actually getting to know each other, which is fantastic.
Well, yeah. In theatre, you get to know people very, very quickly.
Well, it's so intimate, isn't it? Yeah. And you're so close to them. And do you fall in and out of love on these runs? Do you?
Maybe. Kind of.
Yeah, that's good. I love that. It's all part of it, isn't it? I know. Your tour manager or your manager is behind you going, oh my God, I can't believe
this.
No, sometimes
it does feel very real. But it is acting at the end of the day, and when you leave stage, it's like, you know, you do have to sort of like separate those two different lives. And but yes, sometimes it feels very real.
In a place that won't let us feel, in a life where nothing seems real, I have found you. I have found you.
It's a very, very powerful love story. It starts off in a brothel in Vietnam, in Saigon. A two-week period, and you witness the fall of Saigon, and you witness all of the soldiers and the GIs leaving. Then you see the destruction and the sort of chaos that ensues after that. And then it fast-forwards 3 years to when Kim has a child. Chris is back in America and has a new wife. And John, who's one of Chris's best friends in the army, finds out that he's got a child, tells Chris. They fly over to Bangkok. Kim's made it to Bangkok. She made it out of Vietnam. She's got to Bangkok. And then Chris sees his child. And there is a very tragic end.
Played on a solo saxophone. It's telling me to hold you tight and dance like it's the last night of the world.
Basically, the musical is based on the story of Madame Butterfly. And what inspired Claude Michel and Alain is a picture of a Vietnamese woman handing her own child over to an American soldier.
You won't believe all the things you see. Crazy sound.
love goes on and on, played on a solo saxophone. It's telling me to hold you tight and dance like it's the last night of the world.
Oh, I bet everybody's swooning out there. I bet you're swooning in your car. I bet you're, you know the way that your dog or your cat comes up and kind of just rubs itself against you when you're sitting in the chair. I bet you're doing that to the one you love right now. Somebody's throwing pots and pans at them. Anyway, Stephen Falloon, General Manager of the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, is here to tell us more. You're very welcome, Stephen.
Good morning.
Good morning to you too. So it's like Madame Butterfly. I've never seen Madame Butterfly.
Yeah, Madame Butterfly is the great Puccini opera, which is, tells the story of a geisha who falls in love with an American GI.
And what's the geisha's name?
I can't, oh my God, I can't remember.
I know the American GI's name in it.
I can't remember
Pinkerton.
The geisha. Pinkerton, of course.
No, he's not the geisha.
Yeah, he's the soldier.
He's the soldier.
But
yeah,
is she not? She is Madame Butterfly.
I think she's C.C. San or something like that. I can't. I've never seen it, as I've said. I just read about it. And apparently, he is very heartless in Madame Butterfly.
Oh, he's terrible in
the sense that he just dumps her.
Oh, totally.
But in this, there's some saving graces for this American GI in that he's forced to evacuate from Saigon.
Yeah, like, I think the difference between Butterfly and Saigon is that Saigon gives a lot more depth to the story. You get to know the characters much more. So you get, so yeah, you know, Chris is not the nicest guy in the world, but he's not the worst either. And it begins, like, it really tells the story very well.
He's
about
the best of a bad lot.
Well, then there's also the engineer. He's not very great either.
Well, the engineer is a kind of a character. He's kind of,
yeah,
he's a real pantomime character,
yeah,
the engineer.
Like the
but
engineer.
No, he's not nice. I mean,
do you like the engineer?
Yeah, because it's survival with the engineer.
Yeah.
I kind of get that. Where Chris didn't, I didn't particularly like Chris's character. Well, actually, I didn't like him at all. I might as well.
He's a bit weak.
Yeah, he is.
There
weak.
Is a weakness there.
But she is the star.
She's incredible.
She is. I don't remember her
Kim
name.
Kim is the character's
Kim,
name.
Kim, yeah, the character. She
she's the young Vietnamese girl.
She's phenomenal.
Who's orphaned by war and is forced to work in a brothel.
Yeah.
Let's put it like that. And I have to say, and Blondhead was mad about her all the way through it. You know, she's fantastic. She's from time. I'm black and blue on the left-hand side. From, but didn't like Chris. Whereas I thought Chris was fantastic. I thought the entire cast were superb. I saw this in 1989 at the Theatre Royal in Drury Lane. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with the expectation of not liking it again, and I thought there's going to be balance at least, but I was completely blown away by the entire staging of it.
It's a very
and
different
the actual show itself.
Yeah, I saw that original production too, and I think this production is a lot bigger and also a lot grittier when you're actually watching the scenes in Saigon and watching the great scene in Bangkok, which is very hard to describe, but there's like literally 10 stories going on stage at one time, and
absolutely,
you can literally just get your eye around and you're following all these brilliant stories. But the great thing about this production, it's gritty. You feel like you're in it.
It's
you
real.
Feel like it's real.
Especially
it's like
at the beginning,
dirty.
The opening scene. I didn't like the opening scene at all. I have to say, I found it very uncomfortable.
Why?
Well, it's set in a brothel.
Yeah.
And you, it's establishing itself and establishing the story of all these GIs coming in and basically taking who they want.
Yeah.
For a pittance.
Yeah.
And not even treating them very nicely, abusing them.
Yeah.
And that's portrayed on the stage. And as you said, there's a lot going on stage. So there's a couple over here, there's a couple over there, a couple over there. One fella been very aggressive towards a lady on the stage. I mean, I know he's only acting, but he's portraying what apparently went on.
Yeah.
And I just found it very uncomfortable sitting in the theatre because I was surrounded by a lot of women, and I just found it very uncomfortable. It's like when you go to a movie and they show a love scene and you thought, I didn't come to the movies to watch a love scene.
Yeah, but I suppose at the end of the day, there's no apparent about it. This is what happens in the sex industry. Sex workers are treated like
it's
this.
Terrible.
There's no question about it. So what we're seeing on stage, and because it's stage and not
replicating,
film, is so real because their hands, you know, they're not very far from us and it's happening right in front of our eyes. And it is, the grittiness has to be gritty. I cannot stand musicals that are all, oh, it's all lovey and dovey and everything is fine. This is real. And I think it's badly needed. I think there's a message in it.
Oh, there's a message because it's really interesting because the first song is called The Heat Is On in Saigon, and it tells the story, you know, what you're saying about set in the brothel. But the second song, sung by one of the ladies of the night, is Movie In My Mind, and it explains why she's doing it. It's, you know, that she has this idea of the American dream, that somebody's going to take her away and life is going to be so much better when she's taken away, when she gets away from the hardship that she's experienced all her life. So it's very contextual. Like, the story is very contextual. This stuff happened, and I'm really delighted that the musical doesn't shy away from it, that it actually addresses that in a very gritty and realistic way.
Would you bring kids to see it?
That's a really good question.
What age limit are you, restriction are you putting on it?
I would say it's probably 12. You're 12?
Mm-hmm. 12. Well, I'd bring my teenagers to it.
Yeah, I'd bring
How old are yours?
14, 15, 17, 20. I would really strongly recommend for my daughter who's 20
listen,
to see it.
If you listen carefully to the lyrics and some of the songs, even though the songs are beautiful, that duet is stunningly beautiful.
Oh, I love that song.
I mean, my favourite number of the whole show is The Pimp, The Engineer. It was played by a character called Red Concepcion. He's a beautiful name. He's from the Philippines. It's his real name. And I think both of his parents were actors. He plays the part of the engineer fabulously because you kind of like him and you dislike him intensely at the same time. There's a warmth about him, but he sings a huge number about the American Dream, where he's getting off on the bonnet of a Cadillac. I mean, the staging is really spectacular. But if you listen carefully to the lyrics of the show, you feel a little bit uneasy.
What's the word,
Anna, you said to me earlier? Not offensive, but what was the word of the lyrics you said to me? Racy yes. are the lyrics, to say the least.
Yeah, but it's telling that story, and I think it's a very important story to tell. And I don't think if you shy away from it and sort of do a Broadway, you know, make it sort of glitty and sort of turn it down a bit, it doesn't work. You don't get that feeling of how horrible it was and what the story is and how this woman, Kim, thought that Chris was going to come and save her and they fall in love.
The story is simple, but a musical theatre now has become so competitive. The production value in this. Now, I have to say, I had to think about one or two of the songs afterward. They didn't necessarily stay in my head, but every visual I saw, every scene did. So the production is incredible.
What was your favourite scene?
The opening scene. It just
the one I didn't like.
I'm sorry, Derek.
I only didn't like it because I was uncomfortable.
Darling, but I just found it so real. And I suppose it's just, I kind of felt watching it, it's set. The agenda, the story is set. It could be nowadays in any broad, it could be anywhere. This is set. Mm. These are sex workers who have no choice but to do this. Mm. And it's cruel. And it's as relevant today as it was back in, 1975. So it is, it's absolutely, I thought it was very good and well done.
My favourite scene, because for those that went to see it in 2000, it was 2002 that it played in the Old Point Depot. It was played there for 7 or 8 weeks. And what everybody talked about when I went to see it, everybody talked about the helicopter. Because this big helicopter comes down halfway through Act Two. And the helicopter is there in this production. And it's absolutely the most incredibly stunning and visceral experience because you feel that that helicopter is there. And it's,
you feel the power of it, don't you?
You feel the power of it. You feel the wind of it. And it's like you're sitting in your seat going,
and
this is 3D.
It's a particular sound.
It's really loud.
It's a particular sound that you hear as
Yeah, so it's like, it's kind of like there's a helicopter in the
theater.
And
you want everyone to be saved. That's the thing. You know the story, but you want them to get everyone out.
And you want Kim to be saved. You want Kim to get into that helicopter. Really want it.
And as Chris was saying there, it has a pretty tragic end, you know. These things, I mean, bring your hankies with you. Yeah. Please bring hankies with you. And if you're bringing
Derek,
young
I've
people,
never seen you cry like that before. I heard you had to
you
be carried.
Some of the managerial meetings here.
I heard you had to be carried out of the theatre in a stretcher.
Oh, stretchered out, carried away. Oh,
he wasn't well at all afterwards. I had to walk him around for 20 minutes.
Can I tell you why I was beside myself? Anyway, would you like to hear a little bit of Red? This is Red, and Red is the character. Red Concepcion is the name of the actor, but he plays his real name. He plays the character of the engineer in the musical Miss Saigon, and this is his big number because all he dreams about is getting to America. So he dreams about it.
What's that I smell in the air? The American dream. Sweet as a new millionaire. The American dream. Pre-packed and ready to wear my American dream. Fat like a chocolate eclair as I suck out the cream. Au revoir, Miss Saigon. I'm moving on. Grab what you can till it's gone. The American dream.
You can picture that. It builds and it builds and it builds and the stage fills and they've got this Cadillac on the stage and the colour and the atmosphere and everything. You can just see this guy wishing himself
in America. And what does he want to do when he gets to America? Well, he wants to do, you guessed it, what he was doing right there in Vietnam. And then what he does in Thailand, which is run a brothel. Mm. I mean, he's got a speciality in this. He's got a niche for it, a talent for it, and that's what he wants to do.
And then it ends with nothing, just an empty stage, because that's the American dream. And it's very true for Trump's time. This is still very relevant now. It's like that the American dream is futile. It's not real. It doesn't actually exist.
It's an awful pity the American dream doesn't exist for the Americans themselves. I went to see Detroit last night at the Omniplex in Rathmines, if anybody's interested.
Yes, I am.
Be prepared. Bring a plaster with you, for one for both eyes, because it's pretty harrowing, I have to say, and it's based on a true story. But it's on at the moment. It opened last night, Detroit, and it's about the race riots in Detroit back in the late 60s. Wow. And it focuses on one particular episode where three African-Americans were murdered, basically, you know. Anyway, watch it, and it's on at the moment.